Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
What's up, Duke fans? Welcome to the Devil's Den podcast. I'm your host, Josh Smith. Got Shu with me today. Roll's going to sit this one out. Mike can even hear it a little bit under the weather here. Lost my voice there. I'm probably watching that game the other night. But we decided to take a little bit of respite just because I think it was a little too brutal last night to jump on here. But Shu will get into it. So Duke falls to NC State in the quarterfinals, 84-79. Obviously that's our first game in the tournament, dropping back-to-back games for the first time since late November, early December. Bit problematic. I mean, we can talk about the game, but I really just have some topics I want us to go through because sure. You know, we're coming off of, me and you were at the game against Virginia and just completely decimated a decent Virginia team, right? Like, I mean, not great, but a pretty decent Virginia team. And now we find ourselves kind of souring, right? Like something seems kind of off, man. Let me just toss it to you there. Like, what do you think's happened to this team? Is it just a small sample and it just falls back to back, or it just feels like the collective vibe is just off, man?
Yeah. I agree with you there because, you know, once the clocks kind of hit March, it's been a different story for us. You know, February was great. We had good vibes, you know, felt like, all right, this team's clicking. 2 years in a row where we're kind of walking into March doing well. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like the finality of the season coming up. You know, people are, I won't say looking ahead, but possibly, you know, thinking about the future and not really focusing in on the moment and the present. Because definitely over the last two games, obviously, you know, just haven't quite looked the same.
Yeah, and it's, you know, Roel made a good point in our chat of like, it's hard to like, what do you attribute it to? Because you see a lot about like the lack of fight. But it's like, well, we haven't lost any game by double figures yet, right? And we've gotten like, kind of looked like we were going to get ran out of the gym a few times. So we have some kind of fight, but it's like there's just a collective like, mental toughness at times, or just
I think it's
like,
a lack of focus or effort for periods, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, look, basketball's it's a fickle game, man. You know, one bounce, especially in a single elimination type tournament like the ACC tournament, like you know, one bad bounce or one bad call and you're going home. Now granted, we are talking about a two-game losing streak, you know, that ended the regular season with a loss and then coming in our first tournament game. But look at last year, you know, we go in to the ACC tournament, run the thing, win it, and then turn around and, you know, our season ends a little earlier than we expected. So it's not like it's a given that if you do well in the tournament, sure, that you're going to, sometimes we've even debated, should we just tank it and rest? You know, that's, some teams have that strategy. I don't think we've ever went for that. I don't, necessarily subscribe to it because we're going to have a week before our next game anyways.
Right. And we traditionally try to win this thing, right? Like we traditionally view the tournament, like the ACC tournament, as like, hey, we want to show up. We want to win this. It's a championship. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, look, I saw a lot of doom and gloom, you know, on social media, and I get it. You know, I'm disappointed. I've been, you know, lollygagging around all day. I'm sulking. I didn't like it. But we are a little spoiled too at the same time. I think we have to admit that, like,
sure,
our success in the past is what's made the expectation. Like, dude, we're 24-8. Like, if you're Wake Forest, that's a great season. If you're 90 other teams, that's a great season. You know, I think sometimes our expectations, the success in the past kind of puts a little too much on us at some point. So that was John's first loss in the ACC tournament. You know, it wasn't a good one. I didn't like it, but it's his first one as a coach. So there's that point. I mean, I don't like the saying that these guys just, they don't care. They want to win. They do. They're trying.
Sure.
You know? Like you said, they want to win, you know, but so does the other team. Keats is out there fighting for his job. Those guys are fifth year seniors, probably without a lot, you know, to do next year other than, you know, going overseas. So they want to keep this thing going too. So John said it in the press conference, like when it's postseason, like you got to put those teams, like they're not just going to go away. You got to put them away.
Yeah.
You got to make them go away. And we weren't able to do that.
And I think that's the most problematic thing for me, right? Is like he's kind of said that a little bit too. Like we just didn't show up with the collective fire, with the we didn't compete at the level. And it's like, dude, by this point, like how are you going to get that to happen, right? Like if we're not there yet,
I mean, that, you know, they've been making a thing of the players only meeting that the guys had, you know, supposedly today. Like, you know, I get it, it's all good and everything, but like you said, dude, if you guys don't have it right now, and not to be sour on what's, because who knows, we've seen it before, you know, catch lightning in a bottle. You can be an 8 seed and make it to the Final Four. You know, you get to play a 15 in the Elite Eight, it's easily done, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I just think that at least that team was kind of trending like stronger as they got there, right? Versus like where we're at now seems to kind of 100%. Be like, you know, are we looking at a 3-game losing streak to just end this thing? I mean, we'll talk about seeding implications in a little bit, but I mean, to me, the entire thing was summed up by that play where State's on the fast break, right? And Jeremy just completely gives up on the play, man. He does a little kind of like,
buzz the tower. That's it, man. Yeah.
And dude misses the bunny, and we have two guys under the freaking rim that are have no chance of getting the rebound. And the same jump that misses the layup gets the wide open corner three, and it's like, that's the season right there. Or at least that's my frustration with where we're at, is just that. Like, that's just a sharpness, like, just a... Sure. And you're right. I mean, I agree that individually, all of these guys probably want to win, but it just seems collectively we're not like pursuing it together.
Right?
No, like,
it's a team game. No, I'm with you. Something definitely seems off because this is not how we were playing, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. I'd love to get back to that somehow, whatever it is, you know, if they just, you know, need to clear their own mental space and just get into a, you know, some kind of zone for dude, 6 more games. That's all you got. At the most, you know, but one more L and it's over, you know, and this team will never play together again. These guys won't be together again.
Right. Right. And this is where, you know, and I think I mentioned this on our game thread, but it's like, it's pretty inexcusable at Duke to not be able to have like an 8-man rotation, right? To not have any depth. And we had 0 bench points last night, right? Like, and our bench looked completely outmatched. I'm not trying to knock a bunch of guys, but like, I thought Ryan had a really stellar season for us last year. And it's like, where's that been, dude? Like, his production has just completely flipped. We had a few strong games there a couple weeks ago from John Stewart. And then that seems to be, he played 4 minutes, right? Like,
he had a tough break in that game. I mean, he got scored on McConnell, Taylor. I think he got scored on at least 2 or 3 times in this 4 minutes. You know, it's just
tough. I mean, you know, TJ plays 8, misses all 3 of his 3s, but it's like, you want him shooting, but it's like,
sure,
you know, we need to make more than 25% of our 3s if we're gonna win. Guard play was just bad, man. And we talked about this on our pod, that we have a really good 5-man unit, but we really can't have like abysmal games from 2 of them, from 40% of them, right? Like, Mark played good, Flip was great, but then you had
Front Court was awesome.
And,
but
yeah,
Roach and Parker, that's a flip from what we were doing a month ago, where we were like, all right, maybe get away from the flip centric offense, because the guards have been, you know, what's kind of power in this team. And that's kind of flipped in the last couple of games. Flip's been playing great. You know, I did want to point out Flip's, I don't think he's averaging 20 in the month of March. I think I counted it up. He's like 85 points in his last four games. So yeah, I'm 20.
Okay.
Yeah. Something. And we can tie. I don't know if you wanted to tie that in. I mean, Jeremy didn't have his stuff, you know, and hasn't in the last couple of games. And
yeah, and you wonder if that's like the ankle thing, right? Or if like if sure. he's still just not, because something's off, man. Like, and maybe senior night, you attribute it to like a bunch of emotions going on, but he's been so good this year. And then just to have these two performances and the two biggest games. Now, granted, these guys are playing a lot of minutes now without Foster, and these are big games. Yeah. I mean, they're playing a lot of minutes. Tyrese, I think, has played 40 minutes in like, what, three or four games in a row? Three in a row. That's tough, dude. Like, you're not going to be able to play the level of defense that we need to play with guys playing 40 minutes and not having anything to.
What it also comes down to is the decisions you make on the other end in crunch time, like we were just talking about off air. When you're tired, you know, sometimes your brain doesn't work the way you want it to work like that. So tough shots in the clutch from Tyrese in some games, and maybe that's why he's just, you know, 40 minutes and 40 minutes of checking most of the time the team's best guard wing, right? You know?
Yeah. And I think that's like more evidence when we talked about that mental toughness or something that's just like the focus dips. I mean, because we see it at like it's predictive, right? Like we see it at the start games. We've come out several times just like not ready, not locked in. We've seen it at end of halves, first halves to start second halves. And at this point, dude, it feels like any game that's like on the line in the crunch, like we just don't seem to have the focus or the execution. I mean, we turned it over against Wake after getting the stop, right? We come down, we're down four, and Tyrese has that like up and under that doesn't even touch rent. It's like, dude, what are we doing? Like,
the way we closed out the Arizona half and game, you know, that
Georgia Tech,
Georgia Tech, even back to last year, the Kansas game, you know, like, you're in it. I think a part of that is, look, we've done it to ourselves. We're half of our team is 17 and 18 year old freshmen, you know, maybe 19 year old kids. We don't have a lot of veteran leadership, you know, veteran guys. So it's tough in those tight situations. You know, we saw it, you know, me and you've been Hornets Bobcats fans that, you know, those Bobcat days, like they were just could not close a game and just didn't have anybody, you know?
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's not trying to be too doom and gloom, but it's multiple factors that are happening at the same time, right? Like I thought Jared had really turned a corner defensively there, kind of around that Virginia Tech game or so, like start of February. They were targeting him pretty hard, dude, and just not offering resistance. I mean, I don't know. Where do you go?
Well, and
there's no adjustments they can be made, right?
Like that's kind of where we miss Foster. A 6'5" kind of big guard, you know, what going into the season, my initial thoughts on like Duke and Carolina, like I thought Carolina was going to get picked on a little bit having Cadeau and RJ because they're small, and it's kind of flipped on us. Now it's, you know, Jeremy and McCain, because we don't have Foster available. And you know, TJ and Sean haven't really been able to get the minutes that they needed earlier in the season. That's one point I guess I wanted to go back to earlier. You know, you don't get to develop those guys, especially in the days when the net kind of rules, when you're really not incentivized to play those guys in those early season games. You want to win them by 40 just so you can boost your metrics. You know, it's a game in the system thing.
Yeah, and now you've kind of put yourself to where you don't have any reliable. You don't have guys that have had like good strong minutes. I mean, maybe a little bit from Sean, but he still seems. I mean, 4 minutes, it's just not there, right? Yeah. You're clearly not there, and there's nowhere to go with it. That's I think the most frustrating thing is we are who we are. You know, it doesn't sound like Foster's going to be playing anytime soon, so I don't expect that. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't want to get too much into like.
Did you make anything? I mean, McCain obviously had the stitches with the band. I mean, I do want to give him a break on his shooting because I'm assuming. Well, I'm not assuming. I know it's hard as hell to shoot with something like that.
Sure.
Covering up your vision. Just anything, you know, that's alien to you normally would, you know, affect you. But the defense, you know, look, you still got to put your body in the way, and and we just weren't able to stop a lot of those straight line drives for their guards.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's frustrating having like what was really a solid game plan against them just like a week and a half ago, right?
Well,
and then it's
I did want to bring that up. A week ago we let DJ get 30, and they realized after that like he had a great game, one of the best games he probably could have had, and they lost because it's a team game and they didn't really get anything else. So you look at this game, they had what, five guys in double figures.
Horn had like what, 20?
Horn had 18 or 20 maybe.
18, yeah, he had 18.
But McConnell gives them 12. Diarra gives them, buckets, and Morsell, I think the biggest thing that jumped out to me was, the first game we had 19 offensive rebounds. Was that? Yeah. The game a week ago, 10 days ago, that's how we kind of really beat them, is we were just crushing it on the offensive rebounds. This game they had 9 and they converted that into 18 second chance. I mean, basically scored on every offensive rebound, essentially,
Yeah. That's tough. It is, man.
And then you look at the free throws. I mean, I think we were 8 of 14, so we missed 6. I'm not saying you're going to go 100%, but, Mark goes 0 for 4, and he's historically been a pretty good free throw shooter. It's not unimaginable to think he could have went 4 for 4. I think Flip missed one and Jared missed one. Jared could have hit that. Flip could have went 3 of 3. I mean, so there's a lot of different ways this whole thing could have been. We could be talking about something different tonight, but
that's true. That's true. That was a big moment too, when Mark has like what I thought was, dude, I gave you the and one, and then you missed both free throws. It's like, oh man,
I think it was 64-69. If he hits that, makes the free throw, 3-point play, it's 67-69 with what, like a minute and something. Like it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
A whole different ball game. So
yeah. Pretty frustrating, man.
But yeah, I mean it's the way it goes.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't want to get too much into who's leaving, all the rumor mill stuff going around. I think we'll just have to wait and let that stuff play out a little bit, man. It's just too early. People are kind of panicking, and maybe rightfully so, but I think we'll reserve that.
Yeah, the rumor mill always starts popping up, but I mean, last year hardly any of it panned out to be true, right?
That's true. So yeah, we'll see with that, but let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk about seeding a little bit.
Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right. Well, let's come back. I mean, I know we kind of just got that off our chest a little bit. So a little bit of pod therapy for you. What do you think that this does in terms of seeding? I think that's another frustrating thing is coming into that Carolina game. We're talking about, you know, hey, we're in the hunt for a two. And if things really break crazily, like, why couldn't we get that last number one seed? Now it's you're seeing tossed around a lot is, you know, it looks like a four seed being inevitable. Looking at the metrics, though, we're still 10th in the net, 8th on KenPom, 11th on Torvik. Where are you at with this? I mean, are you thinking just walked into the four seed at this point? Is there a possibility for a three? Would you take one over the other in terms of if you got a better location? Like, what do you make of it?
I mean, like you said, from the metrics, and who knows how the committee is going to do this. I think we're obviously a three, but it, you know, it also depends on there's other conference tournaments still going on, what other teams can do, or the teams fall off. There's going to be some shuffling around. I think as far as, you know, where it is, I would rather be maybe a four in the East or the South as opposed to a three out West. That, you know, historically speaking, I know last time we went out West, we did come out of it, but, you know, it's not our most favorable path. So if we can play in Brooklyn, play in New York, Boston, you know, up in the Northeast, you know, first, second weekend, then that, I don't hate that. I don't think we're going to get to play in Charlotte. I was kind of hoping for that, but I think we're going to be playing here.
I was kind of hoping for Charlotte too. And if you look at CBS, I think they had us at a four. Lunardi has us as a three still, like clinging to a three. Three in the East, I mean, that would be a gift at this point, right? Like that would be,
yeah,
you take that all day long. Yeah, that's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough. You fall to those four or five seeds, you're looking at either Pittsburgh, Salt Lake City, or Spokane.
Yeah, I mean, well, and look, if I'm being honest, you know, I'm selfish. I do want it to be in Charlotte because I want to go to it. But at the same time, if Carolina's playing in Charlotte and, you know, the same region, but or different region, same, you know, pod location.
Same pod, yeah.
Right. You know what happens when that, you know, we show up to that. That's just like in the game, the ACC tournament game. I think Burns even pointed out, like, you know, these people weren't cheering for us. They were cheering for Duke to lose. And that's just what kind of comes with the program now. You know, when you build that kind of the equity of excellence over time, people either love you or hate you, but there's no people that are in between, right? There's nobody that's just going to sit there and watch it and not care. They're
right.
They're going to actively root against you. So,
yeah,
you know, maybe it's best that we do get out of North Carolina and, you know, up to Brooklyn or something, Pittsburgh for the first round.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll see, you know, these bracketologies, sometimes they're on it, sometimes they're not. And it's really hard to tell like how much of like the conference tournaments they take into consideration outside of just your like automatic seeds. Right. So,
right.
Or your auto bids. But I mean, if you look around the country too, like Tennessee just did the same thing we did, right? They lost senior night at home to Kentucky, and then they just got the doors beat off of by Mississippi State in their tournament. And I don't think that people are as down on Tennessee as maybe Duke fans are down on Duke, you know, maybe for different reasons. Yeah. I don't know. But I mean, I guess if you look at the season as a whole, there's still some hope here, but the feeling's not great. You know, the feeling's not great. I don't know. We'll see. I guess we'll find out what Sunday at 6 is.
Yeah, selection show.
Yeah. Yeah. I was hoping Capel could pull it out, man, to maybe bump them boys off, but it looks like we're heading towards a Carolina as a one seed, huh?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. But, you know, out West probably because Purdue's got the Midwest, Houston's going to be South, UConn's going to take East.
Yeah. And that's where it always gets tricky, too. Like we were talking about it, like, you know, in a certain pod with the certain matchups, the four could maybe even be better than the three if you're out West, right? And then you're playing Arizona as a two like immediately in the sweep. So it's like, okay, well, that gets a little tough. But then again, I mean, I don't know. I look at it to where, and John posted this on Twitter, and I was just like, look, if we get to Houston in the Sweet 16, I think I just take that, right? Like at this point where we're at, where these last two games, I think we're trending the emotions of the team. A lot of fans are thinking first weekend.
Yeah, I'd love to be playing, you know, two weekends from now.
Yeah. And you just take whoever, right? Whether that's Connecticut or Houston or Purdue or whoever.
At, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, if you're going to try to win at all, you got to beat some good teams, you know.
Yeah.
You got to play some in the Sweet 16, so be it, you know.
Yeah. That's what was frustrating about last year is that I thought we had a chance. And then I think our one seed lost right away. And it's
Purdue
like,
lost in the first. Yeah.
Yeah. So you had a chance to really become the one seed almost. Yep. Can take advantage. It seems like when we win, it's chalk, right? Like every time we win, it seems to be chalk. So I don't know, man. I guess we can leave some of that though to just, we'll come back Sunday after Selection Sunday. I think John's going to join us for that one. So we'll get a look at our bracket, our seed, where we're at, where things go from here. But I don't know, man. It's not looking good right now. It doesn't feel good, right? It doesn't
feel good. I mean, I'm trying to like distance myself from the game last night and the game last week. Like it's tough, but you know, for better or worse, this is what Duke's entire season will be judged on, is what we do in March. That's kind of how the bar that we've set is what we do in March. So yeah, it sucks to come in here on a 2-game losing streak. But like I said, last year we came in, you know, riding the high wave of just winning the ACC tournament and flamed out early. So maybe we can do a little role reversal and, you know, just get out of the first weekend. After that, you know, it's a little less chaotic, I guess. After that the first weekend is just, that's the madness.
That is the madness, especially that first round, right? Like, even recent years, we've seen 16s beat ones now 2 times in 5 years. So it's like, it happens. 15s over two is not that unusual either at this point. So, survive that first round. If you can survive that first weekend, then you just play ball, right? You're going to be playing good teams at that point. So you just roll the ball out and see what happens. But, I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully that players meeting done something. I mean, we have 4 starters that came back for this, right? Like specifically for this.
Yeah.
So it's time.
Put up or shut up, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to have much depth, but I mean, if we're locked in and playing well, I think those guys on the bench can give us enough to get by, but, and maybe you do see Caleb at some point, but I don't know, man. I'm not banking on that one. But,
yeah, I'm not going to count on that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sucks, but.
All right, man. Anything else you got? Let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
All right. Well, in the meantime, rate, review, subscribe. You can find us melting down on the boards at thedevilsden.com or on X/Twitter at devilsdenpod247. You can email us at devilsdenpod@gmail.com. Keep those faces strong and diversified, folks. It's March. Go Duke.